Now, in light of that, let me just come to one last part here that I want to share with you, and that is the requirements for waiting, and they're just four of them, I believe. Four major requirements for waiting upon the Lord, and the first one is faith, and that is we must be willing to trust His ways and His timing. His ways and His timing. His timing's not always our timing. His ways are not always our ways. So one of the primary and I think the basic requirements for learning to wait upon Him is to trust Him, learn to trust Him. We must be willing to trust His timing and His ways. One of the requirements of waiting upon the Lord is faith. I must be willing to trust Him. The second one is humility. I must be convinced that I need Him. I must be convinced I cannot do without Him. I must be so convinced that I am willing to submit my way and submit myself to two things. We just mentioned them. What are they? To submit myself to His what? His ways and what else? His timing. If I'm going to humble myself before Him, that's the two things I must submit to. Your way, Father, and Your timing. One of the requirements for learning to wait upon Him is to trust Him. The second one is humility. I'm willing to submit myself to His timing and to His ways. The third requirement is the one none of us like, and that's patience. I'm willing to stand in my present position until I get further orders. I am willing to pause until God gives me further instruction. And so one of the requirements is to trust Him. One of the requirements is to humble ourselves before Him. One of the requirements is to be patient. That is, you see, if I trust Him, I can be patient. If I humble myself before Him and wait for His timing and His ways, it's evidence that I'm patient before Him. But there's the fourth one, that's courage. Friend, it takes courage to wait upon the Lord, especially when the pressures all around you are saying, now, why don't you do thus and so? Why don't you move here? Why don't you make this decision? And sometimes in your business or in your personal situations in life, people are always saying, well, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And sometimes there's so much of that, if you're not careful, listen, what will happen is instead of listening to God, you listen to something else. You better keep your ear tuned to the voice of Almighty God. So I don't know what you're facing in life and where, but I can tell you this. These simple principles work every single time. And you don't have to worry about being embarrassed because He says, listen, those who wait upon Him, they're not going to be ashamed. You don't have to fear failure. Even if you make a mistake, even if you blow it bad, you think, oh, well, I thought that's what God said. You genuinely waited. You thought that's what God said. And you make a mistake. You say, well, what's God going to do? I can tell you exactly what He's going to do. Because He knew your heart, He's going to take your mistake and He's going to turn it right around. And you know what? He's going to turn right around for something so good that that mistake's going to turn out for your welfare. Why? Because He's a good God. And He understands what you're doing. Listen, none of us just read this and listen to a sermon and say, got it. No, you don't. We all have to learn it. And I may share something that God has spoken to my heart about. It doesn't become yours because you put it on a piece of paper. It becomes yours when you put it into action, and God has the privilege of showing you the same thing. This is how I operate. Then it's yours. Then you can say to somebody with the same kind of confidence, let me tell you, you'll never be ashamed if you wait upon the Lord. You'll never fail if you wait upon God. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Trust Him, trust Him, trust Him. Don't move, trust Him. You'll have the same sense of courage and confidence and absolute, unalterable, unchanging, unshakable assurance that waiting upon Him is a very, very wise move. It's not yours until you put it to the test. And when you put it to the test, it'll be yours. Listen now, I'm going to say this again. It's something you learn, and you learn it by experience. And you say, well, how do you get experience? By failing. That's the way you get experience. And so you see, somebody says, well, but suppose I fail. Listen, I have failed. You're going to fail. That's the way you learn. You learn by trying and failing and trying and failing. Well, God, I thought I heard. And the interesting thing is, I want to say it again, He takes our failures because He knew our heart was pure about it, and He turns it around and turns it for our good. He'll turn every failure into something good when the motivation is right. Amen.
If you sense that God is directing you to wait, then humbly submit to Him even if you don't understand why. As we heard in Dr. Stanley's message, we can't improve on God's timing, and we can trust Him while we wait. To listen again, look for the link to Today on Radio at intouch.org. And that's where you'll find resources to help you explore the Bible and learn more about the wisdom of closely following our omniscient God. If you'd like to order Dr. Stanley's complete message, it's available in his two-part teaching set, Waiting Upon the Lord. Go to our online bookstore to place your order. Again, that's intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. You can write to us at InTouch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. Various denominations handle baptism differently. Today's moment with Charles Stanley reminds us to compare all our traditions with Scripture. That's coming up.
In our spiritual journey, we often have questions. How do I know God's will for my life? Does God hear my prayers? Why do bad things happen? The answers are found in the Word of God. But how do we know where to start? The free In Touch devotional can help point you in the right direction. With biblically based content from Dr. Charles Stanley, you'll gain insight and wisdom through daily devotions, Bible studies, and more. The In Touch devotional, delivered monthly to your mailbox. Subscribe for free at intouch.org/daily.
Do you take sermon notes on the back of your bulletin, jot scripture references on the offering envelope? Start keeping things in one place, one organized place, with the InTouch Note-Taker's Journal. This leather, soft journal contains 150 pages for taking notes and includes Dr. Stanley's 30 life principles. Find everything in one convenient place with the InTouch Note-Taker's Journal. Call toll-free 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org.
You're listening to In Touch. Some people think baptism is just a church ritual or that it gives you a place in heaven. What does Scripture say? Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
Now, I think one of the problems that people have is they don't understand what baptism really symbolizes and means. It's a church ordinance to them. Their parents did it. Their parents love them enough, so to speak, that they want them to get baptized to be sure they get to heaven. The problem with that is it's deception. Now, I know some people who are listening will have a problem with that, but all I want you to do is to think about this. In the New Testament, only believers were baptized. And somebody says, well, now what about that Philippian jailer got saved and Paul said, we'll baptize you and your household. It meant that those who would trust Jesus Christ, because this man asked, what must I do to be saved? He didn't say, just what must I do to be better off, but what must I do to be saved? And he said, we have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so that's exactly what happened. In the New Testament, baptism is for believers only. There's not a single incidence where that's not true. So if you want to be scriptural and be obedient to God, you do it God's way. And so people who do not understand salvation don't even think about being born in this world with a sinful nature that God has to change, then in their mind, it's a church ordinance, and if the priest baptizes you or somebody else baptizes you, then you must be all right. But I want to tell you, that is scripturally not true. And the reason I'm strong about it is because I see so many people who honestly think they're going to heaven, never made a decision to trust Christ.
Baptism is a very important step, but salvation comes about only by receiving God's gift of forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. Learn more at intouch.org. And if these truths are impacting your walk with Jesus, we'd love to hear your story. Tomorrow on In Touch, with Easter just a week and a half away, we launch a study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reminding us of the immeasurable impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us Thursday for In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Educators, you're invited to join ACSI and the Colson Center at the Rooted Educator Worldview Summit. The conference will be held June 24th through the 27th in Asheville, North Carolina, and CEUs are available for attendance. Christian education is about forming students holistically, helping them grow in Christ-like virtue, develop deep roots in the Christian worldview, and engage secular ideologies from a place of confidence in the truth. At the Rooted Summit, we'll be joined by trusted Christian thinkers like Monique Dusan, Thaddeus Williams, Matthew Sleeth, and more. They'll address issues that are critical in education right now, from biblical authority and worldview formation to human sexuality and mental health issues. Along with keynotes and panel discussions, attendees will devote time to collaborate with other educators through breakout sessions catered to different educational spheres. Registration is open today. To learn more or register for the Rooted Summit, go to acsi.org/rooted.
Breakpoint, the daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Over the last few years, more and more younger Christians have been encouraged to so-called deconstruct their faith. Often it begins with a well-known Christian author, pastor, musician, or public figure announcing that they're no longer a Christian. They make this announcement online to a large following, either on Twitter or X or YouTube, recounting why they are letting go of the core tenets of Christianity. Usually, it's in the name of inclusivity and tolerance that they embrace non-biblical views and lifestyles, particularly those having to do with sexuality and marriage, like same-sex marriage, transgenderism, or abortion. Young believers are encouraged to follow suit. There are countless stories of this. A teenager grows cynical about Christianity, citing school friends and social media stars who label biblical ethics as first optional and then totally irrelevant. Or a close friend that embraces same-sex marriage or LGBTQ ideology, claiming that affirmation is what Jesus would have done and the only compassionate response. Or a spouse who begins to claim that God's unloving to allow the kind of evil and suffering we see in the world, or that scripture is useful but it's not really authoritative, or maybe it's a small group leader using the latest social media controversy to judge and interpret scripture rather than the other way around. Now, if any of this sounds familiar, the name for it is deconstruction. It's impacting families and Christian communities everywhere. Well, thankfully, there's a new book that explains deconstruction for what it really is and helps Christians respond with grace and with wisdom. The authors are Elisa Childers and Tim Barnett. The title is The Deconstruction of Christianity, What It Is, Why It's So Destructive, and How to Respond. The book cuts through all of the confusion by defining deconstruction precisely, also explaining what makes it so appealing to so many and how it's a dangerous and contagious trend in so many churches. As Childers and Barnett write, quote, "One of the beautiful realities in Scripture is that we have permission to be real with God, even when that means expressing our frustrations, our worries, and our doubts," end quote. Ultimately, Elisa Childers and Tim Barnett point us beyond the discouragement of deconstruction to the rock-solid hope that we have in Christ. Only when Christians understand the entire story of God's world, rooted in the hope centered on Jesus Christ, can we engage the doubts, whether our own or others, from a place of confidence instead of fear or anger. This month, you can claim a copy of The Deconstruction of Christianity for a gift of any amount to the Colson Center. To make your gift, go to ColsonCenter.org/March. That's ColsonCenter.org/March. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to Breakpoint.org. Oh,